It was one of the largest single-day protests in the history of Washington, D.C. Hundreds of thousands of people demanded stricter gun laws at the March for Our Lives rally on Saturday. Ivy Seamus was one of them, and we're going to hear more from her now. She's been a social studies teacher at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, for 17 years, and she was teaching about the history of the Holocaust when two students were murdered in her classroom. Ivy, thank you so much for coming on to speak with us. I know this is still a very difficult time, but I appreciate you taking the time to do it.
Thank you.
And what a weekend. How are you feeling?
I still feel sad. I'm sad about the whole event, but I feel hopeful from this weekend. The weekend was incredible, and I just feel very rejuvenated and very, very inspired by the students and everybody that was marching from every walk of life, from every corner of the United States. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, and there were so many memorable moments. One, of course, 6 minutes and 20 seconds of silence from Emma Gonzalez, student at the high school, during her speech. She said it was the time that the gunman took to kill 17 people. What other moments specifically stood out to you?
Well, Emma Gonzalez was a student of mine. I had her entire freshman year, and I also have her in Holocaust class, although she was not in the Holocaust class that was shot into. All their speeches were very powerful. But the part where she said all the names of our 17 fallen angels, and she said they will never anything, because they're not with us anymore, and we need to do everything we can to make sure that no one forgets them. So they will never was a very powerful moment for me. And also, several students that were in the class were on the stage. I had Alea Eastman, who spoke about what happened that day, and Samantha Fuentes, and she was so poised, and she had thrown up on the stage, and she still got up and was able to continue her message, which I'm incredibly proud of her.
You know what? We actually have that tape. Let's listen to it.
I just threw up on international television, and it feels great!
Look, this is a moment of levity in an otherwise very serious, serious event. And just a couple of weeks ago, nobody knew who these kids were. And now they are on stage in front of the world. I mean, would you ever have thought that things would have turned out this way?
Well, truthfully, yes. And we've been saying this for a long time, and I just think now the world knows what we've known all of these years. What an unbelievable student body we have. And everyone at that school seems to be like this. So you can talk to any of the students and you'll get these same incredible answers and insightful thoughts. And Samantha Fuentes was sitting close to my desk at that time when the shooter ambushed us, actually. And that's just how the kids are at this school.
But how did they get to be that way?
I just think the community is something unique. And oftentimes I really think it's from their families and their parents. And this is the kind of place where they don't really take no for an answer, which is not always a great position to be in if you're teaching their, their child and they have an 89 in class and they're just persevere until they get that A. And that just seems like that's indicative of the whole community. And I think it's the families, but I also think our school has prepped these kids to be independent thinkers and to be outspoken, and also part of this Holocaust class where we talk every day about how to combat hate and how to be an upstander. And it's not good enough just to be a bystander. So I think it's just all their lives they've been prepped.
They've also been able to deflect criticism. Let's listen to this moment on CNN yesterday. It's former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum.
How about kids, instead of looking to someone else to solve their problem, do something about maybe taking CPR classes or trying to deal with situations that where there is a violent shooter
but
that you
can
actually
respond to. How are they looking at other people?
I
would ask you, they took action.
Yeah, they took action to ask someone to pass a law. They didn't take action to say, how do I, as an individual, deal with this problem.
Okay, so Senator Santorum was ridiculed for that statement, but as you know, the students have become lightning rods over the course of this entire process. You know, they've been called crisis actors, fakes, Democratic Party shills. You know, people, you know, they're online, there's this image of Emma Gonzalez ripping up the Constitution, and really it was a doctored photo that she was ripping up a Target. How are the students dealing with this blowback? How are you dealing with this blowback?
Well, I was there. I was in the classroom, cowering in the corner with my students. Sid Fisher's next to me going, Mrs. Seamus, are we going to die today? So they're not crisis actors. They were there and they saw all of this. We were ambushed. And two kids, two awesome, amazing students with the brightest future were killed inside my classroom. There is no way they are crisis actors. And we're telling them just to ignore all of the criticism, because if we pay attention to it, then it continues. So that's impossible. It was impossible to do CPR on a student that was just riddled with bullets from an AR-15. Impossible.
You're telling them not to pay attention to it, but I mean, are they able to take heed of that advice?
I think so. I think that, and I've spoken to Emma and some of the other students. Delaney is my current student in Holocaust class, and they said they're trying not to read any of that. In fact, they're not even responding to that. Many of them, or most of the students here, are just ignoring that because the positive feedback has been overwhelming.
Congress is not expected to do much more, if anything, on gun control, at least this year, this session. How are the students taking that?
Well, I also think that they know, and they've, you know, and my students were seniors and they're in government class, and they know that things work very slowly. But like I said, they're the kind of students and community that persevere, and I really don't think that they're going to let them, that's going to deflect from the message. I think that they will continue. They have a lot of people on their side, of course, and I think they will continue this all the way through. So if it's not happening right away, I think we have the hope that things will happen. Some things have gotten through, and I just think that if they continue this message, they know that eventually it will happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the argument on the other side of this debate, right? That the students who are behind this are naive. They don't realize what it's like to go up against the NRA. They don't realize what it's like to get gun laws passed in Congress. I mean, do you think that there is any truth to that, that their vision is blinded by the optimism of youth a little bit?
No, because I think it's time for change. And I think that optimism is what's going to help them get through all of this. No, I don't think so. I mean, I know it's going to be a tough road, but I think they're up for it. And this, if anything, gave them motivation. Valentine's Day 2018 sure did.
A tough road for the kids, but also, of course, a tough road for you. You mentioned some of the students that you lost in your classroom. How are you doing?
Well, I feel terrible, and I've visited the homes of Helena and Nick, and I'm close to the Shentrups that lost their beautiful daughter Carmen across the hall. All of them, my heart goes out to all of them. Coach Feist was my son's football coach. I'm close to Debbie Hickson, who lost her husband. We're all in it together. We're all in it together, and there's no way I'm going to let them down. So I go every day to work, and I try to put a smile on my face, and I continue to teach the message of the Holocaust. Those Holocaust survivors are actually what is giving me inspiration, and I'm able to pass that on to the students. I think about what they suffered through and how they had to just pick up the pieces of their lives after the war. So it's helping us, I think, understand or empathize with what we're learning in the classroom.
How do you, after all of this, though, go back to a normal day at school? You know?
It's not exactly normal.
Yeah.
Our building is a crime scene. So 17 years of my professional life is in room 1214. And so and now we're sharing classrooms. So it's not exactly normal, but inside those classrooms, we're trying to keep teaching what we've been teaching for many years. And I'm proud to actually say I work at Stoneman Douglas, and I was proud since 2001 when I started there.
Ivy Seamus teaches social studies at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Ivy, good luck. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.